nuclear time bombs.
Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. This is Tom Pounder. And this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited because I have Kristen Ivey back on the program. It's been a while. I've been trying to track her down from time to time, but she's a very busy person because she's doing a lot of stuff, obviously with Orange, but also with the Phases Project. In fact, Kristen Ivey is the Executive Director of Messaging for Orange Leaders, and she's also the co-founder and director of the Phase Project. And if you don't know what the Phase Project is, it is something that Orange released 2 years ago in about how you can best minister and help and developmentally support children as they go from birth to up until college. And so they've been working on this and developing it for over 2 years now, and it gets better and better all the time. And Kristen is the one in charge of that. So what we do today is we talk about where they're at with the Phase Project, how it's helping people, and at the very end of the interview, Kristen has a cool special offer for all you YM Sidekick podcast listeners. So it's really kind of cool and exciting. So I'm excited to talk to her today. It's a great interview. So let's get in the interview right now with Kristen Ivey. All right, with me right now is Kristen Ivey. Kristen, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. It's, you know, towards the end of the summer, so I'm getting ready for my kids to go back into school. So that will be kind of nice. So,
yes.
Hey, Kristen, just for background, I know who you are, and a lot of people actually on this podcast will know who you are. But for the random person who doesn't, give me a little background about what you do and, what you do.
Well, I'm the mother of three, so I now have an 8-year-old, 5 3/4, as she'll tell you,
nice.
And 2, and my middle child just started kindergarten yesterday, so we are in parenting mode, elementary school world, so that's part of what I do. On the other side, I also work for a company called Orange, where we are a nonprofit.
A company. I like how you said a company. Like it's like a small little thing. Yeah.
We're a nonprofit organization that exists to help give kids and teenagers a better future. And we believe that that's connected to helping them have better relationships and make wiser choices in their life and also have a deeper faith that really is integrated into all of those things. And at Orange, I'm the executive director of messaging, and that just means they let me influence and direct and oversee all of the content development at the organization. We produce over 1 million words a month in content directly aimed at that target of kids and teenagers and a better future. And now also I'm the director of this thing called Phase. It's about 2 years old now.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad you kind of led in perfectly for that, because I want to talk about phases. But before I ask you a question about that, let me ask you about your kindergartner. Is it full day kindergarten or half day kindergarten?
Oh, it's full day. And it's so long for that little kid. I mean, she just got home yesterday, and last night, the last thing she said to me before I tucked her in was, "Mama, I don't have any time to play anymore."
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, full day kindergarten's a long day for a little person.
Yeah, my kids all had half day kindergarten. And then literally the year after my youngest got through with it, they went full day. So
yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about phases, because like you said, it's about 2 years old now. And I remember we had you on when that kind of just came about. And it was just this big book, and it had a ton of great content in it. But now every year you're doing something new, you're doing something more. So give me an update on what you guys are doing. What's the purpose of phases and what you guys are doing now?
So I come from an education background. I was a high school teacher. My mom was a kindergarten teacher. My whole family is teachers. And because we work in an organization that cares about kids and teenagers, we're surrounded by people who've been in an education field. And one of my favorite things about being around educators is that you begin to feel their passion rub off on you. Mm-hmm. If you're in a room of people who work with children, it doesn't take many conversations for them to convince you that, you know, the children's phases of life are critical to a person's future. And so we wanted to capture some of that passion and also kind of merge that with child development and real study about a whole child and what's happening in their brain and what's happening in their body and what's going on with them developmentally that makes the phases of life from birth through about, I mean, if I'm honest, probably 25.
Yes.
But in those years of a person's life, there really is something significant that's happening and will shape their future in a way that no other years of life really will. And so we began to talk with experts, counselors, family practice, counseling therapists, educators, anybody who worked in these fields to go tell us what you know and what you've observed and what you've learned. And we mirrored that with reading everything that we could possibly find on babies and toddlers and preschoolers and kids and middle schoolers and teenagers just to go, okay, what is it if we could distill all of that content down into some basic principles? What would we want for parents and leaders to know so they can make the most of the time they have with their kids? And, you know, really, this has just been an exercise. I look at it through a new lens every so often, because the more we progress, the more we're learning and we're growing in this as we go. But part of it is this exercise in empathy that we are learning to remember what it was like to be a 2-year-old. You can't actually remember that as an adult, but to go back and kind of put yourself in their shoes, if you will, for a minute. It changes the way that you approach a child or the way that you engage with a middle schooler. When you kind of begin with a posture of empathy. So that's the background, I think, of the FACE project.
Okay. No, that's great. And that's perfect. And you break it up into segments. Like, can you give me the segments that you break it up into?
So, that is, and you hinted at what's changing. So we would say there's 13 phases, that we broke it up into. So the first year of life. And then when a kid is 2 and 3, when they're, 1 and 2, 3 and 4, then kindergarten and first, 2nd and 3rd, 4th and 5th, 6th we identified by itself. In the initial concept, we had lumped 7th and 8th grade together.
Okay.
Very quickly got my hand slapped by a leader who I love and respect and admire so much, who spoke into us and said, you've got to split 7th and 8th. That was Katie Edwards. I'm a big fan of her work in the middle school phases of life. She's been a long time committed leader to middle schoolers. So we've separated that back out.
Okay.
And then we tackled 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade, each individually as a phase in and of itself. And so one of the biggest changes there is that we actually really spent a number of months meeting with leaders who were committed to the middle school space specifically and identifying those distinctions between 7th and 8th grade and realizing that there's a lot more difference than we may have thought at first, and trying to identify and categorize some of that information to really help with those middle school distinctives between 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
Now that's actually a really good point that you have on there in a comment, because I got my start in middle school ministry and that became very quickly a passion of mine. And then when you have someone that's a 6th grader and then you have someone who's an 8th grader in the same environment, it's hard. And everyone's like, now it's easy. You can just put it all together. But really, they are two completely different people. And then you lump in 7th graders as well. It's completely different. So how do you figure out, you know, what to address in each phase? Or what are you guys learning as you guys process this? Because I believe when you guys first started out, you lumped more of them in together, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah. In our latest project, we actually split out every individual year. So we had 18 different approaches, but you'll still see a natural grouping of similar information in those initial 1 and 2 year old or 3 and 4, I mean, 1 and 2 year old, 3 and 4 year old. Kinder and first, 2nd and 3rd, you'll still see a little bit of grouping there.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest distinction is really in separating out the middle school years. But to the middle school point, I think one of the biggest surprises for us along the journey was how important those middle school years really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I am constantly looking for ways to better communicate and better explain what we've been discovering in those middle school years. And depending on the audience, there may be a different, you know, a different piece that resonates or makes more sense. One of the first triggers for me to really lean into that phase was simply the phase interviews that I conducted, where I was meeting with leaders who had spent, you know, 15, 20, 25 years with a particular age group, to just ask some questions and say, what do you love about this phase? What are some secrets to connecting to the heart of a kid in this phase? Those kinds of questions. But I would always lead with a question: tell me about someone who influenced you. And because I was interviewing people who work with preschool and people who work with elementary and people who work in all areas of helping the next generation, I expected for that answer to generate a lot of variety, mm-hmm. and was surprised when I believe it was 100%. I always say like 98 because I can't remember if there was an anomaly in there. Every single individual pointed to an adult who influenced them in the middle school phase of life.
Wow.
And I just got to a place where I started almost like pushing people to give me a different answer, because I'm thinking, yeah. You know, this is not building my case for every phase matters. Mm-hmm. And I still believe that every phase matters. But at the same time, there is something about those years in middle school when there's a high rate of change developmentally. It's the most changing time of a person's life aside from the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. And yet I just think sometimes we miss it, because this is a squirrely group of people to be around, yeah. if you're honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They can be smelly. They can be loud. It can be, you know, they're trying to discover themselves. And so sometimes as adults, you think, you know, why are you pretending to be something you're not? Instead of thinking, oh, you're really just trying that out to see if it fits, mm-hmm. for a minute. But I think those years, I would call attention to another piece of that. If you were to just think in terms of faith for a minute, and a person's commitment to faith or desire to go deeper in faith, or commitment to church. A lot of times as church leaders, what we've talked about is a drop-off rate that happens after college. Mm-hmm. But we're measuring the number of students who are still with us senior year, who stop going to church in their freshman year of college, or when they first get a job, or whatever comes next for them after, mm-hmm. 12th grade. What we're failing to do is look at our retention rates from the fourth and fifth grade into sixth grade, and from the eighth grade into ninth grade. Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, if we start talking about data that we've begun to gather from some leaders, if you were to evaluate the kids that get lost in those transitional spaces on the front and back end of middle school, if we were to retain them and they were to invite their friends, I put this on a graph just as kind of an exercise, an experiment for a visual. You would see that the number of kids that we're losing is so much greater than what we think it is. And it really has to do with what happens as you move a child from the concrete thinking of childhood into the abstract thinking of a middle school brain as they're beginning to process that. And as you transition them, as they start to ask harder and more personal questions, into high school space where there's a lot more freedom and responsibility. And so I don't even know. I wasn't planning to discuss middle school so much, but nope. There has been so much discovery there.
No, I would agree with you completely, because, again, my start was in middle school ministry. And when I started back in the late 90s in middle school, I worked with an organization called Young Life. And Young Life, for the longest time, was high school only, 9th through 12th grade. And what they discovered back in the 90s was that middle school students were starting to make decisions in those middle school years that were directly impacting them. And then if you look at, and so that's why they went full force into middle school. But if you even look at my youth program currently, our middle school program is thriving right now. We made a great transition from fifth grade, those kids in our children's ministry program, into middle school. But as soon as they get into high school, there is a significant drop off. And that's a key focus right now for us. How do we retain those kids from middle school years into high school years?
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's great. That's huge. Now, do you have separate middle school, high school programs?
We do. Sometimes we'll do a combined group, but sometimes, most of the time we keep them separate.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great. I think there's two different dynamics for answering that question, you know, when they're grouped together or when there's two separate environments. But I think any way we look at it, that is a problem we need to put on the table and get leaders around to think of multiple creative solutions in different environments to focus on those years.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That, again, you're speaking to my heart here with the middle school stuff. But from a grander perspective of what you guys are working on and what you guys are developing, how are you continuing to develop the PHASE program, and what are you guys doing to help parents and leaders in as they process this?
There are a number of different things. I think we're never short on ideas.
well, that's great.
one of those really probably are some target zones where I would say, as we look at the seasons of life and the rhythms of life and as a person grows up, we're going to zero in on some things that we think leaders and parents may be missing in some critical zones, specifically preschool. I know that that is so well documented and so out there in culture, but I don't think it can be emphasized enough. Those first years of a person's life when they're a baby, when they're one and when they're two, in that window of time that we need to be very attentive to what's happening and raising the bar. Mm-hmm. So we have a team that's hyper-focused on some new resources and new development in that area specifically. We're also going to be hyper-focused on those middle school years, resourcing. We just launched through Orange a new curriculum for preteen. It's included. For anybody that was using the children's curriculum before, it's all included. It's all baked in. There's no change in that, but it is a fully separate, standalone, new graphics, new video, and new approach and philosophy, because we did discover that fourth and fifth grade, we've heard for years churches say, hey, our fifth graders are disengaging. Hey, our fifth graders are kind of moving on. Something's happening. And it was like they were observing something, but without a language to go, you know, maybe it's just us. And the more we've researched physiological changes that are happening when a kid turns about 10 years old and 11 years old, it becomes more and more crucial to lean in and say, no, we have to change our approach and our philosophy and our structure, because there is something happening in that fifth grade window. So you'll see, we have a team that's very focused on the preteen world, and Dan Scott at Orange is really leading up that group. We're, again, middle school, really leaning into that sixth, seventh, eighth grade zone. I know with our friends at Fuller, we're also looking at that end of high school. Yes. What Reggie, my boss, Reggie Joyner, he wrote years ago a resource called The Slow Fade. You know, that there really is this trickle off that begins to happen junior year, senior year. Our team's kind of looking at what does it mean to be an emerging adult, and what do we do with this emerging adult culture that's really crept in the last, you know, decade to be an even bigger deal, I think, culturally, of how do you begin to transition students into what it means to be an adult. So I would say transitions in general, looking at those spots is something that we have teams rallied around for PHASE. When it comes to parenting, we have so many different things that we're excited about. We did just release 18 PHASE guides.
Nice.
For parents, and we're very excited about that. So they're a short resource for a parent that gives you just what you need to know to help your kid this year. Because, I mean, this is just true. You don't have to be a parent very long before some grandparent or somebody in the grocery store walks up to you and they say, oh, they grow up so fast. You know, before you know it, they'll be all grown up. And I know as a parent, I would think, okay, that's great, but that's not helpful.
Yes.
You know, now I just want them to grow up because they're throwing a tantrum in the floor of the grocery store and, you know, I don't know what to do with it. So to lean into parents, we want to get a stronger and stronger message to parents that says, look, you only know your first grader once as a first grader for 52 weeks. And then they will be a second grader and you don't get to know them as a first grader again.
Yeah.
So there's something important about that year in your kid's life. And you don't want to miss it, because if you miss what's important about this year in their life, they could miss some things that will matter for their future. Mm-hmm. So the phase guides are our simple way of really simplifying the developmental changes that are happening in their kid's life to just kind of cue you in a sense of empathy, to remember what's actually happening in your kid right now. It's also a way of very listy. The guides help a parent know how to give their kid the things they need most this year. Mm-hmm. For example, we would say there's 6 things every kid needs to know, that they get stories in their life that help shape their perspective, that they have words in their life that set their direction. So there's, mm-hmm. there's these ideas out there, and then we've identified by a list, you know, here's some books that you might read to them, mm-hmm. for example, that engage them in stories, or, you know, here are some words that they need to hear from you this year. So it's very practical. And then at the back of the guides, we've also included critical conversations. Every parent needs to have at every phase. Mm-hmm. How to talk to your kid about faith, about sex, about technology, so that it's kind of cueing you along the way to go, hey, just have another level conversation this year. You don't have mm-hmm. to wrap it all up in one talk.
Right.
But advance the conversation, and here's what it might sound like. It's scripted for you. So really, really practical resources to help parents really make the most of the 52 weeks they have in front of them right now.
Yeah, and see, that's what I love that you've done with this project, is that you're not just providing resources for leaders and church leaders to do, but you're providing stuff for parents. And again, it goes back to the whole thing of when a parent comes up to me and says, my kid is going through with this right now. I don't even understand it. It's a simple little book that I can give to them as a resource that I can give to them, and just to help them along the process. And truthfully, I need this resource as a parent of a few girls my own. And so it's just like, I need this, even though I've been in youth ministry for so long. I mean, you tend to forget things. And again, kids are changing all the time. So that's why I love to. You mentioned about how you're connected with Fuller and different organizations. You have so – this is not just something that you guys just came up with and thought, oh, okay, this would be good for us to do. You guys do your homework. You do, get a variety of different insights and resources, and you bring in the experts to help you shape this stuff. And it's so valuable for all of us. So I think it's awesome.
I mean, I would be lying if I didn't say that part of this project is just a way for me to – be intentional about my own parenting and think about it and go, you know, what am I learning so far? What am I hopeful for the future? And it gives me a good excuse to surround myself with wiser people than myself mm-hmm. who've already journeyed this path and ask them the questions I would want to ask them, and then take a lot of notes. I mean, that's absolutely, this is not, this is self-serving for me too.
No, I know. How can it not be? So it's fantastic.
Okay. Absolutely. I mean, yeah.
Well, as we wrap up, I know that you have a website for this. So what's the website that people can go to get find all this stuff out?
So I just heard that they've set up a special link for your listeners.
Oh, really?
So on the site. So we're going to have, if you go to phaseguides.com, G-U-I-D-E-S, phaseguides.com, and then / YM Sidekick.
Yes, it's got the YM Sidekick in it.
YM Sidekick. Then you'll get free resources for the listeners that will kind of point you to more about Phase, what's happening at Phase, and we'll put up some free stuff on that link as well.
That is fantastic. That's great news. Thank you so much for doing that, Kristen. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody will appreciate that.
That's great.
So, and I will include that link in the show notes too, for people to get, so they can just click on right from there. So, well, Kristen, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being on. So
thank you for having me. This is really fun. I always love a chance to talk.
Well, that's great. Okay. Wait, actually, one last question. Are you going to be on the Orange Tour at all this year?
Absolutely.
I figured you would. Yes. So I'm assuming you can't make all the tour stops. So are you?
No, we've actually done something the last couple of years where we now have some cities on the same day. So it's actually physically impossible to be at every tour stop. We're still wrapping up finalizing all of those cities, but I know some of the cities that I'll be in.
Well, that's great. Well, that's cool. Well, hopefully the city that you're in, some of our listeners will be in as well, and they'll be able to connect with you. So that'd be awesome.
That sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kristen. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, so there you have it, my interview with Kristen. It was awesome having her on. I love having her. She's got just a ton of information, a ton of knowledge, and all the stuff that they're working on with the phases and with Orange is so helpful for every minister and for every parent who's dealing with this as children get older. So I would love for you to check it out. Hit the link on the show notes, and I'll also be tweeting it out as well. So definitely go and hit me up at TA Pounder on Twitter, and you'll see the link there where you can get some great resources. But I would love to hear from you. How are you using the Phase Project? What are you using it for? What are you doing with it? Again, I've used it in a variety of different settings. I've shared some of that in an interview as well. But I would love to hear from you. What are you using the phases for, and how are you maximizing it for your ministry? Hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder, or you can even email me, tom@ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, subscribe to the podcast. Go to iTunes and subscribe to it. Or you can go to ymsidekick.com and subscribe to it. And you can check out all the other podcasts, all the old blogs and fresh blogs that come out each week. And the occasional vlog, which, of course, Summer Ministry Vlog Week, hashtag SMV Week 17, is happening right now. So hit up that hashtag on Twitter and check out all the people vlogging this week about different ministry topics. So it's awesome to do that. And you can catch those vlogs that I've done on ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.